I'm Darren. I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314, and today we are wrapping up this series that we are calling Overcomer. It's a special two-part series that we've been talking to specifically to the ladies of Focus 314, to every single lady that's here today, that I believe that God has called you to be an overcomer, that God is the God of equality, that he looks at everything and he says, for God so loved the world. The world, not just God so loved a certain gender. And so we believe in the God of equality. And so we are talking specifically to the women. But I believe that also the things that we're talking about through this series, they relate to every single one of us as well. But we believe that God has called us not to just survive this world, but he has called us to thrive in this world, that we are more than overcomers. That's what God has for us. Our theme verse is found in Romans 8:37 that says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I love that so much, that God has called us to be more than conquerors. He has created us to be overcomers. In this world, there's going to be trouble. In this world, we're going to have issues. In this world, we're going to have struggles. But are those issues, those troubles, and those struggles, are they going to pull us down and beat us down? No. No, in all of these things, we are more than overcomers through our own power. No. Through the love of Jesus Christ. That's what I love about it so much. And so what my hope is that today, that you will leave, every single woman here will leave empowered. My hope is that you will feel empowered. Maybe you're sitting in here today and you are a strong woman, that you have a great sense of security and identity. My hope is that you will leave here today feeling even more empowered. Or maybe you're a lady that's come in here today and you're struggling with some of those things. You're struggling with who you are, with wherever you're at in life, that my hope is that as you leave here today, you are going to be empowered to understand that God has an amazing future for you. Let me ask you a question. Who wants to be an overcomer today? Come on, somebody, because that's the life that God has planned for each and every single one of us through his love, that we are more than overcomers. That's what we're talking about today. This has been great. Even last week we started off the series talking about something very, very powerful. We talked about the issue of fear and moving from fear to freedom. And how do we do that? By switching one key word. In fear, we live with the idea of what if. We're dangled by the what ifs of this life, and we just switch one word to move from fear to freedom. Instead of living in what if, we live in even if. Even if all of these happen, all of these bad things, these horrible situations, I will continue to trust my God. And today, as we introduce the topic today, I have a question for you. In fact, I want you to be able to think about this question. For everybody, if you've got your notes in front of you, you can take your pen out, flip over the talk notes, and on the back of it, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about this. What are three words you would use to describe yourself? What are three words that you would use to describe yourself? Maybe for some of you in here, you would use your appearance, right? Like some of the guys in here would be tall, dark, and handsome, right? Like, but you realize that you are either not tall, nor dark, nor, well, you know where I'm going with that, right? Like, but you would use your appearance maybe to describe yourself. Or maybe for many of you in here, you might describe yourself by your life situation. You know, like maybe I'm married, single, divorced, a mom, grandmother. Maybe you might use your life situation to describe yourself. Maybe for some of you, you might use your occupation to describe yourself. Lawyer, doctor, receptionist, teacher, whatever it might be, you might use your occupation to describe yourself. Or maybe you might even use a hobby, right? Like some of you, your hobby is your lifestyle. I'm a cyclist, I'm a climber, I'm a hiker, a knitter. I don't know what it is, but maybe that's what you would use to describe yourself. Or for maybe some of you in here, it gets a little bit deeper than that. I'm a successful person. Or I'm a failure. I'm married. No, I live in brokenness. Some of us, it gets a little bit deeper than that. We're talking today on what describes ourselves. What we're talking about today is the issue of labels, of how we ourselves, that we label ourselves, or how other people label us, and how powerful those labels are. Labels are incredibly powerful. I want to give us a working definition so that we're kind of all on the same page when we're talking about labels today. Here's what labels are. Labels are something that is used to describe a person or a thing, particularly something that's restrictive in nature, right? Once you have that label put upon you, then that kind of determines almost who you are. It defines you, it describes you, but if we're not careful, it's going to define and determine who you are as well. Labels are incredibly powerful. In fact, the first time I really began to understand the power of labels was when I was in junior high. I got into junior high and I began to understand the power of labels. Anybody else, like child of the 80s, you grew up in the 80s, you know, like all of the stuff from the 80s, you remember the 80s pretty well, okay, right? So I'm a junior higher, I'm in junior high in the 80s, and I began to understand the power of labels. Like, anybody remember how big the Swatch watch was? Anybody remember that? Like, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about those Swatch watches, right? Like, for a while there, Coca-Cola polo shirts were, if you had to have a Coca-Cola polo shirt. If you didn't have a Coca-Cola polo shirt, like, you were way down on the pecking order of junior high, okay? Like, you guys remember those things? Like, so I began to understand the power of labels and how it determined where you are in the social ladder. And for all of the ladies in here that you remember those days, do you remember how big Ked's shoes were? You remember Ked's shoes? Some of you are like, oh yeah, I remember Ked's shoes. Those plain white Ked's sneakers right there. And those, you had to have that little blue block that said Ked's on it, right? And here's how I understood the power of labels when I was in junior high. So I'm sitting there in algebra class. I remember it was algebra class, basically the same class that fourth graders take today, right? Like, but I'm in algebra, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, bored out of my mind, and I look, and the girl that's kind of sitting catty corner from me, I look down, and I notice that she's got some of these Ked sneakers on, like every other girl in junior high at that time. And so I look at the Ked sneakers, and then all of a sudden I was like, I realized there's something different about those. That's not the same as the one that everybody else is wearing. And what I realized as I began to inspect a little bit closer is that this girl, she was wearing some knockoffs. She was wearing knockoff Keds, but what she had done is on the back of the shoe right there, like everybody sees the back of it, that little blue block was very, very important. And so what she did is she took a little ink pen, a blue ink pen, and she colored in a blue block on the back of her knockoffs. Labels are powerful, aren't they? Labels are something that we carry with us. And whether we want to admit it or not, labels are powerful. Some of you in here today, you walked in and you have some powerful labels. For some of you in here today, those are great labels. Some of you in here, like, you have people that build you up and they continue to speak life over you and give you some amazing labels. You are gorgeous. You are wonderful. You are the greatest mom that has ever walked this planet. And some of you came in here today feeling really good about those labels. Unfortunately, there are many of you in here today and many people that are walking this planet who don't have those great labels. Maybe some of you woke up this morning and you just thought, man, if I could just have a new label, a new life, all of a sudden I feel like my life would change. Labels are powerful. And here's how dangerous labels can be. See, if you wear your label too long, not only is it going to describe your past and your present, but if you wear that label too long, it can determine your future as well. You know how this plays out. In fact, as I was doing a study for this, I looked at this study that was done with some students. in a school, and they what they did is they would label certain students and their academic progress. And if a student was labeled as slow, they were slow in learning, and nothing else changed, not their classroom environment, not the teaching style, that their home life stayed the exact same. The only thing that was changed was the label of slow. They would begin to see their academic performance continue to decline just because of that label. On the flip side, if they took a student and they labeled them advanced and nothing else changed, nothing about their classroom environment, nothing about the teaching style, nothing about their home life. The only thing that had changed was just the label of advanced. What do you think happened? Every single time they saw the performance advance because of one label. Labels are powerful. It plays out in our life as well. Maybe for some of you in here today, you live with the label of failure. You've lived with that label for a long time. And you've allowed it to not only describe your past of something that you failed at, you've lived with it for so long that it determines your future as well. There's a new environment that you're going into, or somebody says, hey, I've got something that you can try. And immediately you say, no way, I'm not doing that. I'm a failure. I have failed at so many other things, and so I'm going to keep myself away from this amazing thing that could be the adventure of a lifetime, because I'm sure that I'm going to stumble, I'm sure that I'm going to falter, and I'm going to fall flat on my face, and what do you know? I'm a failure again. See, what happens to us is if we wear those labels for too long, they don't only just describe us where we're at, they determine where we're going. Labels are powerful. Many of us in here today, we want a new label. And I've got great news for you today. The great news is that God has a different plan for you. The great news is that God doesn't want you to be able to live with all those negative labels that somebody has given you, or maybe you've given yourself. See, the reality is that God wants you to be an overcomer. Who wants to be able to overcome those labels that you have had in the past, that you are living with in the present? Because I want you to know right now that God cares more about your future than he does about your past. It's time for us to overcome our labels. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about how do we overcome our labels. We're going to look in the Bible. We're going to look at one amazing person and this story of this woman's life on how a label did not define her future. It did not determine where she was going. Let me give you a little bit of background before we get into it. So we're going to go all the way back to the Old Testament, to when the nation of Israel was in slavery, and then God freed them from Egypt, right? And so for 40 years, they were walking through the wilderness, which is basically like Saudi Arabia today. They were walking through the desert in all of this craziness for 40 years. The time had finally come for the nation of Israel, for God's chosen people, to walk into the promised land, right where Israel is today. And so they're at the point where they're getting ready to go into the promised land. Well, there's people that live there already. They got to go conquer all of these places. And so they're hanging out on one side of the Jordan River. And they've got to cross the Jordan River, and they're going to begin their attack and reclaim the promised land. And the very first city that they're going to come across is a city by the name of Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. So Joshua is now leading the children of Israel. He is leading the Hebrews. And Joshua, he decides that he's going to pull out two spies to go do a little recon over in Jericho. He needs to know what the city looks like and how things are going to be able to go around. So he takes two spies and he sends them into Jericho. And then we pick up the story right here in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. So they went, the two spies, they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. How about that for a label? How about that for a label? Rahab the prostitute. Anybody want to be able to live with that kind of label? Any ladies in here today want to be like, yeah, that's what I want to be known as, right? Rahab the prostitute. And this is the thing about this as well. Like, Rahab, did she realize that her story was going to be part of the most amazing collected works of wisdom and truth in the history of mankind for everybody to read from here until eternity? Rahab the prostitute, right? Like, couldn't we in scripture like soften it up a little bit, like Rahab the lady of the night? You know, like, isn't that a little bit nicer than Rahab the prostitute? And this is what she has to live with. This is the label that she has to live with. How do you think that this affected her daily life? How do you think that this affected her when it wasn't just in her home, when she needed to go out into the city? How do you think it was that people looked at her? Do you think that men were opening up the door for her as she's getting ready to walk into the deli? Or do you think that they were turning and running the other way? I hope my wife doesn't see how she just looked at me, right? Like, well, how do you think that played out for Rahab every single day? Do you think that she was invited into respectable people's homes for a nice lunch or tea or something like that? How would you like to live with this kind of label? Rahab the prostitute. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the life of Rahab, and we're going to see how God moved in a tremendous way and gave us the ability and the example on how we can overcome these labels. Many of us in here today are not sitting there with a label nearly as bad as what Rahab is. And God has given us the ability to overcome these kind of labels. He has given us that ability. How do we do that? How do we overcome these labels? The first thing that we're going to be able to see in Scripture is this. You need people that see past your labels. If you want to be able to get past those labels, you want to be able to overcome those labels, you need people in your life that will see past those labels. The labels that you have given yourself, or maybe the labels that many other people have given you as well. I love it. Let's go back to what Joshua 2:1 said. It said, so they went and entered. Who are they? The two spies. And who were the two spies? These are men who are part of God's army. These are men who are godly men, who are serving God on a continual basis. And what did they do? They went to the prostitute's house. How powerful is that? Like, the thing that I love about this story is this, is you have two individuals who are on the opposite side of the social, spiritual spectrum. You have two men of God, two people who are trying to follow God with everything that they have, and then you have a prostitute. It's got to be on the exact opposite side of the social, spiritual spectrum. In fact, many of us, even today, we would be like appalled if there was a man or these two guys even, and to know, like, they get back to Joshua, hey, where did you go? We went to the prostitute's house. You did what? Like, let me get the Ten Commandments out again, right? Like, you need to understand what these say. But instead, what did they do? They saw past the label, and they went and saw Rahab standing face to face. These two spies, I'll tell you what they are. These are some hope dealers. These are individuals who aren't sitting there trying to point a finger and saying, how dare you be like this? No, what did they do instead? They said, we are here to give hope. If we want to be able to overcome our labels, we need people in our lives that see past those labels already. We need to be able to have people in our lives that are hope dealers, that are going to be able to speak life into us in a big way. And the other part of this that's amazing is that not only did they went and entered her house, the great news is for Rahab, she invited them into her house. Rahab invited them into her house. See, what's so important for us when we're dealing with those labels and struggling with some of these negative labels and maybe even destructive labels that we've given ourselves or maybe other people have given us is that there has to come a point in our life when we're willing to lay it all down. Look, I know who I am. I know who I was in the past, but I don't know what the future holds. And then we open up our life to somebody who wants more, to somebody who's going to breathe life into us instead of continuing to take it. That's what's amazing about this story, is that not only were they willing, but she was also willing at this time. If you don't want to live in those labels anymore, you need to surround yourself with people who see past those labels, who don't see you as that person that you see yourself or so many other people do. You need people around you that are going to be hope dealers in your life. You might be sitting there saying, well, that's great. Fine for you, right? Like, I'm so glad that Rahab had those two guys, but I don't have anybody. In fact, every single person that's around me continues to tear me down. Every single person around me is destructive. I don't have anybody else like that. What am I supposed to do? Well, here's the good news for you. This is the place for that. This is the place where you can surround yourself with people who are going to be hope dealers. And not even when I'm talking about here, I'm not even talking about here on a Sunday morning, right? Because here on a Sunday morning, we just see each other and we say, hey, it's so good to see you. Isn't that a great song? Yeah, yeah, on your way. And then you don't even exchange a number. You just shake hands and then you're out the door. No, that's why here at Focus 314, there's something that's so important here, and it's called community groups. What is a community group? A community group is a small group of people in our church that meet in homes and in coffee shops or whatever it is. They go and they hang out with each other. And the biggest thing that happens within those community groups is that they are a place where people can love and support each other, where they are just there to love and support each other, that it's full of hope dealers that are going to look past those labels. It doesn't matter where your past or your present is. We believe in a God of the future for you. You want to be able to surround yourself with people like that? You're ready for a change. You're ready to get past all of those labels. You got to get involved in a community group. It's just that simple. It is a huge part of my life and my wife's life and my kids. And I got to tell you that I don't believe that I would be here today doing what I do if it wasn't for people that saw past all of those labels. You want to overcome your labels? You need people in your life that see past them, that aren't going to pigeonhole you and be restrictive in all of those labels that you've lived with for far too long. You need people like that. Absolutely. Rahab had it. We need it as well. The second thing that you need to do, you need to understand and know your past is never too big to be forgiven. Amen. It's never too big to be forgiven. You need to know it. You need to know it. Look at what Joshua 2:5 says. Before the spies laid down at night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know, everybody say, I know. I know. I know that the Lord has given you this land. I know who the Lord is. I know my past and I know my present. I also know who you are. I know that you have been sent by God. I know my past. I know my present. I know who the Lord is. I don't know my future. I don't know what that looks like. And I don't want to have my past determine my future anymore. There comes a point when you realize that your past is never too big to be forgiven. To understand that God has an answer for you. It doesn't matter what you've been in the past or what you're doing in the present. God will always forgive you. She knew who she was. She also knew who they were and that their Lord truly was the Lord. And then she asks something very important right here. She says, could you go to the next slide? Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family. These people were inside of her house and she just asked, would you just show me kindness? There has to become a point for each of us when we understand our past and our present, and then we ask for the kindness and mercy of God. That we ask for the kindness and mercy of God. You want to feel empowered and you want to overcome your labels? Know that nothing is too big to be forgiven. Know that you don't have to live there anymore. And you ask for the kindness and mercy of God. And then these two spies respond to her in this powerful way. They say, our lives for your lives. They say, our lives for your lives. I want you to know today that when you understand that your past doesn't determine your future, when you know today that God truly sits on the throne and that you want to have Jesus inside of your life, that you want to be able to ask for all of those forgiving, that you need to be able to follow this example, that you just say, God, I need your kindness and your mercy today. And I am here to tell you that Jesus is going to say the exact same thing that these two spies did. He says, my life for yours. My life for yours. You don't have to live in that any longer. In fact, Jesus gave his life for yours. My life for yours. There is nothing that is too big not to be forgiven. That Jesus has already done it as he was hanging on the cross. And here's the amazing thing about this, is that as they said that, our life for yours, that they are going to show the kindness and mercy of God to this woman and her house. They said, we need you to do something, to know that this is the place as a symbol for us to be able to show you your kindness. We ask that you hang a scarlet cord, a scarlet rope outside of your window to know that that is where God's kindness and mercy is going to rest. Our lives for yours. And Jesus is here today to be able to say to each and every single one of you, my life for yours. And in this amazing symbol, there is a scarlet cord that runs down his body. As blood was dripping down, that he sacrificed himself as a symbol to be able to say, I have given everything for you, that you don't have to live in that label anymore, that you are more than conquerors. You are an overcomer when you give your life to me, when you ask me for forgiveness, that kindness and mercy, there is nothing that is too big that I will not show you, because God has done it all for you already. How do you overcome your labels? You need people inside of your life that are going to be able to speak that into you. They see past all of your past. They see past your present. And they understand that God is going to forgive you of all things. They understand that God is going to come through in all things, that he will forgive all things. I know what my past is, and I know what my present is. Rahab knew what her past was, and she knew what her present was, but she asked for kindness and mercy. She didn't know what her future was going to look like, and this is what her future looked like. Joshua 6, when they go and they take over the city. The city and all of it that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, is going to be saved. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and her house are saved. She didn't know that her future was going to look like this. She didn't know her future was going to be able to find salvation through the kindness and mercy of God. She just trusted and said, I know that the Lord is the Lord. How do you overcome your labels? You give it over to God. And here's the great thing. The great thing is that Rahab, she didn't even realize that this is going to be the end of her story. This isn't the end of her story. In fact, we can see it pick up again in Matthew chapter 1, 5 through 6. Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Rahab found a husband, and she had this son named Boaz. And you can find out more about the life of Boaz when you read another book in the Bible called Ruth. Look at Ruth. Ruth, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Boaz and Ruth get together. They had a son, Boaz, and then Boaz married this woman, Ruth, and then had Obed. And who's Obed? He's the father of Jesse. And who's Jesse? The father of King David. Who is Rahab? She is the great-great-grandmother of King David, a man who was labeled a man after God's own heart. She didn't have to live in the label of a prostitute anymore. She found the kindness and mercy of God and had a future that was bigger than anything she ever imagined. Why do we see this written here in Matthew chapter 1? Because this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That this is a woman who had a past that she couldn't live down. This is a woman that believed that God was going to come through with the kindness and mercy, and we see her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You're in here today and you've got a label. You're in here today and that label has been destructive. It has been negative, that you're living in your past. You're living in the present that you have. I want you to know today that God cares more about your future than he does about your past. But hold up a second. Aren't we talking about overcoming labels? Aren't we talking about not having those labels any longer? Because I'm pretty sure that you've heard me say Rahab the prostitute about 50 times already, right? In fact, we continue to see her name being written down by the New Testament authors this way. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see her called the prostitute Rahab. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is known as the Faith Hall of Fame. We see her name written alongside the names of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see her name written alongside of Joseph and Joshua, Moses. We see her name written down by the names of Gideon and Samson. And we see her name as the prostitute Rahab in this book about this amazing faith. We see in James right now when they're talking about righteousness and the righteousness of who? Of Rahab, the prostitute. How is it that she has overcome this label? Because you want to know what true freedom is? Here's where true freedom comes from. And here's where the power of overcoming the label comes from. Many of you in here today, you're sitting there living with these labels. And you want to know the real power? You want to know where it comes to overcome the label? You don't need a new label. You need a new identity. You don't need a new label. You need a new identity. You don't have to overcome the label. You just need a new identity. And where is that identity found? Look at here in Galatians chapter 3. We can say that there is no Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, there are no more labels. When what happens? Look at verse 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. When you give your life over to Jesus, you don't just get a new label. You get a new identity, that you have a new life. You don't need a new label. You are a child of the Most High. You don't have to worry about those labels anymore. You have a brand new identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. You have a new identity in Christ. Here's what Rahab would want you to know today, that you're sitting here struggling with the label that you have. You're sitting here struggling with the past and the present that maybe you're living in. Here's what Rahab would want you to know today. More importantly, this is what I believe that God would want you to know today as well, is that you don't have to worry about those labels anymore. Do you think for one second that Rahab is sitting there in heaven worshiping God, worried about being known as Rahab the prostitute? No. She's not worried about that anymore. She could care less. She's not worried about being known of that. In fact, I bet you she's celebrating the fact that what's written is Rahab the prostitute, because she can help somebody who's sitting in the exact same situation that she is right now. That she can relate to somebody who's struggling with those labels, that's struggling with these issues and the troubles that she has. She's celebrating the fact because she's not worried about the label anymore. She knows who she is, a daughter of the Most High. I don't care what anybody says about me. I don't care what those words are. I know who I am. And I know who has my future in my hands. That's the power of overcoming a label. I can tell you from my own life that when I finally gave my complete life over to Christ, when I finally just said, God, I'm giving it all over to you. For the longest time, I was so worried about my past. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to bring it up. I didn't want people to know what that was. And I would even say this. Oh, the old is gone. New is here. Let's just talk about the new. I don't want to acknowledge that over there. Because I was worried about those labels. I was worried what people would begin to think about me. I didn't want the label to define me. Until I truly understood the power of giving your life over to Christ. I'm not worried about what people think about me. I'm worried about the one. I'm worried about what he thinks about me. I am a new creation. I'm a child of God. I don't have to worry about those labels anymore. I'm not worried about what people might say about me. See, I didn't want to talk about the past, and now I'm free to do it. You've been around me for 2 seconds. You're like, man, you're messed up, right? Like, because that's what I was before. That's the life I lived before. I'm not ashamed of it anymore. I'm not worried about it being brought up. You can call me whatever you want anymore. Go ahead. Call me Darren. Darren, the guy who used to abuse alcohol like crazy. Darren, the guy who would go party whenever. Go ahead, call me Darren the porn addict. Go ahead, call me Darren the failure. You think that any of that I'm worried about any of that anymore? I couldn't care less. Because I know who I am. Even in the present, you think I'm worried about those labels? Even the present things, you think I'm worried about labels? Darren the husband. Man, I love my wife to death. I love her so much. I'm so blessed to have her in my life. Darren the father. I would do anything for my boys. Protect them. Love them. Cherish them. Raise them in to be mighty men of God. Darren the pastor. I'm so blessed that God has chosen me and called me to this life. But do you think that defines me? That doesn't define me. And more importantly, it doesn't determine my future. You want to know what defines me and determines my future? And what my hope is will define you and determine your future. I am a child of God.